I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, we'll meet the American man who recently won a gold medal in an event that's been called the Olympics of Ballet. We'll hear about his rather unlikely rise in a few minutes. But first, it's time for the Beauty Shop. That's where we get a fresh cut on the week's news with a panel of women writers, journalists, and commentators. Sitting in the chairs for a cut this week are Janice Kraus. She is a senior fellow at the Beverly LaHaye Institute. That's the research arm, the think tank, if you will, for the conservative public policy group Concerned Women for America. She's here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio. We are the left behind. Janice, thanks for coming once again.
My pleasure.
This week, joining us from the Republican National Convention in Tampa, we have Kelly Goff, political correspondent for TheRoot.com, and Lisa Roper, a Republican delegate from Texas and a regional director for the National Federation of Republican Women. Welcome to you, ladies. Thank you for joining us from Tampa.
And great to be here.
Well, Mitt Romney, of course, officially clinched the Republican nomination yesterday, and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie gave the keynote. But I think Ann Romney stole the show. I think we pretty much agree with that on the primetime speaking slot. Let me just play a short clip for those who may have missed it.
I read somewhere that Mitt and I have a storybook marriage. Well, let me tell you something. In the storybooks I read, there never were long, long, rainy winter afternoons in a house with five boys screaming at once. And those storybooks never seem to have chapters called MS or breast cancer. A storybook marriage? Nope, not at all. What Mitt Romney and I have is a real marriage.
You know, Janice Kraus, the spouse at these conventions is often described as the character witness. I do think it's fair to say that Mitt Romney needs one, or at least he needs some Facebook friends. National polls show he has the lowest personal favorability ratings of any presidential nominee in 25 years. And I wonder if you think she helped him with that.
Oh, she definitely did. It was amazing to me to see how beautiful she looked. You know, number one, the red dress stood out so dramatically. But one of the first things I think voters look at is trust. Do you trust this person? And I think there has been some distrust of Mitt Romney. Ann Romney, I think, erased a lot of that last night. Her whole message seemed to be, this is a competent man, this is a man who's successful, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. He's an authentic person, and he won't fail. I think that was really a big, big point last night, because while they didn't mention President Obama or his record, either she nor Chris Christie mentioned that, but I think it came through loud and clear that this is a country that is in failure right now, and we need an answer. We need good ideas, and this is a man who will bring good ideas, and this is a man, as she said, will not fail.
Lisa Roper, you were there when she was speaking. What was it like in the hall there? What was the atmosphere there?
It was amazing. You could just see the looks on the women in the audience, and I work with women across this nation, and to see how much they admired and respected her speech and Ann Romney herself and her motherhood, her family. Her family was there and they were beautiful. Everybody was, it was very well received, and we were just really honored to be there.
And anything in particular stood out for you, Lisa?
I really, you know, she is, I've really studied the Romneys. You know, I'm watching them, and I'm seeing that this is going to be. We had the Kennedys, we had the Bushes, and now we've got the Romneys, and this woman is the backbone of that family, and her love for her family really is to be so respected, and I appreciate that of her.
Kelly Goff, as we talked about earlier in my conversation with Representative Marsha Blackburn, the gender gap is alive and well. Many polls show that Mitt Romney leading among men. Obama is leading by double digits among women, and women tend to outvote men, do they not? So the question I would have for you is, do you think that there's something that Ann Romney did that compensates for that or cuts into that edge among women?
Well, let me say this. If I think that there's a Romney that could help close the gender gap on this ticket. But unfortunately for the Romney campaign, it's the one who's not actually on the ticket, and that would be Ann Romney. I think that if she were actually, you know, on the ticket, a lot of the warmth that was on display last night, let's face it, we don't like to admit this, but there's a reason that the beer test, as in who do you want to have a beer with, has been the most accurate predictor of who wins the presidency for the last two decades. I mean, that doesn't necessarily reflect well on our populace, but that's the fact. So likability.
So you don't think there's no evidence that the spouse really factors in as much as people the spouse? I mean, I remember that, you know, Kitty Dukakis was actually quite popular on the campaign trail, and there was no evidence that she helped her husband. The other governor ran for president recently.
Exactly, Michelle. And you're speaking exactly to the point that I was about to make, which is that Michelle Obama is the most popular political figure, American political figure, on the planet. She is more popular than anyone in any party, including her husband. And that's been pretty much the data for the last year or so. But in terms of whether or not that actually helps boost President Obama, what all of the polls have shown in terms of Gallup and others on his likability is that people say they like their family as a package, but separately they also like him. So even if Michelle Obama were jump roping and being just as fabulous in gardening as she is, if he didn't have his own likability to stand on in terms of the data, then the Obama administration would frankly be in a lot more trouble than it should be with the economic numbers that we have, but people like him. The same cannot be said in terms of the numbers of Governor Romney. So as fabulous as Ann Romney is, that doesn't necessarily really help in terms of their ticket unless he really knocks it out of the park and shows some relatability on that same stage when he gives his speech. So far, he hasn't been able to do that.
Let's talk more broadly, Janice Kross, about the party and the party's outreach toward women. I mean, what's been in the news recently are, you know, comments made by Republican, you know, male candidates that many women, even as you heard, you know, Marsha Blackburn, found ridiculous and insensitive pertaining to issues around rape and reproductive issues and so forth. The party really made an effort to showcase women leaders like Governor Nikki Haley, South Carolina, Senator Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire. Do you think that showcasing those leaders makes different, particularly given, I have to point out, you know, a lot of the demographic trends that we're talking about in this country, you know, there has been a demonstrable rise in the number of single female-headed households, okay? And as we know, I think from the research, this is something we've talked about on the program, the fastest growth in the last two decades has occurred among white women in their 20s who have some college education but no four-year degree, which are also a group that tends to divide. They tend to be independent. They tend to divide between the Republican and Democratic parties. In some cases, they are swing voters. So I have to ask you, do you think that the party is making an effective outreach here?
Well, they really are trying. And it was fascinating to me because, you know, one of my things is really analyzing speeches very closely. And it was really interesting last night to see see Ann Romney go for every single demographic. She touched all the bases last night, single moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms. The moms who are trying to find the money to buy the uniforms for their kids to participate in sports. You know, she hit all the bases. And I think it was a speech tailor-made to appeal to women and to get women out for the vote. It's fascinating to me that more married women vote than single women. And yet both parties seem to be really targeting the single women vote this year. I think the Democrats are making a mistake to focus so strongly and almost exclusively on abortion, because all the studies show that women are primarily interested in the economy right now. They're very, very interested in where the country is going for their children and their grandchildren.
Okay, but Rick...
And she touched that base, too.
Well, but I want to ask Lisa Roper about this, but then remember Rick Santorum also spoke last night at the convention. He was a presidential candidate himself, a former senator from Pennsylvania, for whom, you know, family issues were front and center in his campaign. He talked about how marriage is disappearing, where government dependency is the highest. He talked a lot about that. I don't actually think we have that clip. Shall we play it in case people missed it? Here it is.
Marriage is disappearing in places where government dependency is the highest. Most single mothers do a heroic work and an amazing job raising their children. But if America is going to succeed, we must stop the assault on marriage and the family in America today.
Lisa, I have to ask you, how did that go over? I mean, if you see, you know, on the one hand, the party is lifting up Ann Romney, who is a stay-at-home mom. On the other hand, criticizing, claiming falsely in one advertisement, for example, that the Obama administration has canceled work rules, but sort of arguing that, well, if you're a poor woman, you can't stay home, but if you're Ann Romney, you're to be celebrated for staying at home. I mean, I just wonder, did you feel that that message was discordant when it comes to the party's sort of stance on how it will support fragile families?
You know, we have 75,000 women across this nation today that are part of the National Federation of Republican Women. And I have had the opportunity to really ask them about these issues, those issues you just mentioned. And there is such, I'm trying to think, have you been to the grocery store lately?
Only every day. Only every day, Lisa, I have twins.
Who can possibly fill up your gas tank for $4 a gallon? We are in trouble. These women, they cannot afford groceries. It is the middle class women who have children, who don't have children, I have five dogs. Have you seen how much it costs to feed a dog? You have to understand that we're going to get to a point in the next couple of months where it's not going to be about abortion. It's going to be about how are these women going to feed their children and their families.
I hear you. Okay, Kelly Goff, do you want to weigh in on this?
Sure. I mean, I actually think that that they're both actually onto something. I do think that there is a bit of wasted political capital with the progressives focusing too heavily on the issue of abortion. But because that remains a divisive issue, regardless of how the left, you know, reads those numbers, the country's still pretty much split down the middle on that one. But one issue on which there is no split is the issue of contraception, family planning, and birth control. Even among Catholic women, nearly 100% of them who've been sexually active have used it. And there is a direct correlation between birth control use and things like poverty when you look at the data, right, where women who tend to be college educated and who have fewer children tend to do better economically. And so that's a connection that I think has not, messaging-wise, been hit out as effectively. I think those are the issues where you see a sense of extremism from female voters when they look at people like Paul Ryan, who fought very hard against the contraception accessibility in healthcare reform. You look at people like former Senator Santorum, who actually said he did believe that states should have the right to outlaw birth control if they so choose. He didn't say that's what he was going to, actively try to get done, but he did believe they have those rights. Those are the types of issues I really think that do make a difference, particularly to single women who are struggling financially, because you know what? One child versus three children can make the difference for single mothers between a life of pursuing the American dream and the life of giving up on the American dream.
Before we let you go, and you're listening to our barbershop roundtable, our beauty shop roundtable with Kelly Goff, political correspondent for TheRoot.com. She's in Tampa for the Republican National Convention. Also joining us from there, Lisa Roper of the National Federation of Republican Women. She's a Texas delegate who once again take the prize for the spiffiest outfits on the floor, the spiffiest delegation uniform on the floor. So it's such an unfair competition. And Janice Krause of Concerned Women for America. But we've talked a lot about gender in the couple of minutes that we have left. I do want to talk about the explosive issue of race, which seems to have really come to the fore again. Kelly Goff's poll last week showed that zero support for Mitt Romney from African-American voters, 0%. I mean, clearly there are African-Americans who are supporting Mitt Romney. A number of them are there at the convention.
Exactly.
But then there have been these kind of ugly little things. Like, for example, there was two convention attendees apparently threw nuts at a camera operator from CNN saying, this is how we feed the animals. And the convention folks confirmed that this occurred and removed these people from the hall. But you know, are you surprised the kind of race has sort of surfaced again? And
I
thought that we were supposed to be post-racial.
Thanks to whoever came up with that term that we now can't get rid of. Look, you know, for your listeners who don't know, I am African American, and I will say that every time that we think that we've kind of moved forward, we take a few steps back. And I don't just need the anecdotes that you mentioned. I can speak from personal experience in the last week, and I just had this conversation with a friend of mine who works on the Romney campaign, who was shocked by this, which is that I wrote a piece about Paul Ryan and whether or not the revelation that he had, a black ex-girlfriend mattered. I was not critical of him for having a black girlfriend, I actually think it makes them interesting. And yet I've received more vitriolic, racist hate mail and comments, even on my Facebook page, than I have throughout my entire career. And so I think the problem becomes for conservatives that they get really upset and they say, you know, why do people play the race card? Why do people try to, you know, broadly paint our party this way? And it's because you have a few idiots who help paint the party that way with behavior like this, and it makes it really hard for people to be more trusting of a party that I do think there are good people who are trying to move the party forward, but then you have a bunch of numbskulls who really set the party back with incidents like what I experienced and what happened on the floor.
Janice Krauss, I'm just going to give you the final word on this. What are your thoughts about this? I have to tell you that just I don't know what it is about conventions that brings out this kind of behavior. I mean, I can give you sort of chapter and verse about people storming through the press area. For example, when I was covering one of the conventions in Houston, screaming, you know, stop the lies, tell the truth. And we were like, what? What is that about? Maybe it's the alcohol. I don't know. But Janice, what's your take on this before we let you go?
I'm very impressed with the blacks who are in the Republican Party. And many of them were highlighted last night and even more will be. And I've seen some terrific advertisements that show the women and blacks who are part of the Republican Party. I think that's the future of the party. And the crazies who do those stupid things, you know, both parties have them. And it's very unfortunate because they get too much publicity in my point of view. I think the really outstanding people, like Condoleezza Rice and the man who spoke last night.
Archer Davis, former Democratic congressman from
very
Alabama.
Articulate, very
Mia Love, for example, running for Congress from Utah. She'll be the first African-American woman Republican serving in the Congress if elected.
Standing ovations for them. The majority of the party, I think, is racially blind. It's irrelevant. It's the character of the person,
as Martin Luther King said.
Who is that, Kelly?
I'm sorry, it's Kelly. Can I just jump in and say one thing
very briefly
on what Jana said? Is I think they show polls that say a lot of white Americans want us to become a colorblind society. A lot of black Americans want us to become color acceptant. I don't need people not to see my race. I just need them not to not give me a job because of it. And I think that's just a difference in perspective. And it's something that progressives
and conservatives difference.
I'll give Janice the final word. Do you think that's true, Janice?
That's
Do you think
a very
that Kelly's
important
perspective
difference.
Is true?
Yes, I do.
Janice Krauss is a senior fellow at the Beverly LaHaye Institute. That's a think tank for the conservative public policy group Concerned Women for America. She was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios once again. Kelly Goff is a political correspondent for TheRoot.com. She was with us from Tampa, along with Lisa Roper, Republican delegate from Texas, and regional director for the National Federation of Republican Women. Thank you all so much.
Thanks so much.